Okay, Sichas Saran Os Mem. Rabbi Nachman comes back to the Indian of hating philosophy. Now, some of us might remember long ago in Os Hay was the first time Rabbi Nachman really went off on philosophy, but he does it many times throughout Sichas Saran, many times throughout his writing. In general, he has a little bit of a tirade against it in Yud Tes. He has it again over here in Mem. He has it several places in the Reishas and in the Chafs. He has it at least 7 or 8 lengthier pieces where Rabbi Nachman really speaks very strongly about the danger of a person who gets involved with philosophy and the importance of just being a Pashut Yid. Davamuna Pshuta. Now he's going to explain to us what the foolishness of philosophy is today. Why there's very little to gain and a lot to potentially lose in philosophy, and why, even though it sounds very smart at times, it's really not like such a chachma to just ask a lot of annoying questions that seem to have very difficult answers. So let's see. I did a lot of talking yesterday. Today Rabbi Nachman is going to do a lot of talking. Okay? So we're going to do Os Mem, hopefully in its entirety. It's a long piece. So let's go. The Indian Sifrei HaMechakrim Mavuar Kvar Etzlenu Kama Pamim She'osar Lasuk Behem. When it comes to philosophical works, we've mentioned numerous times that it is forbidden for a person to be busy with them. Not only should a person not be osek, in case you want to make a deal, and say, well, Rabbeinu says not to be osek in them, but maybe to look a little bit lasop v'divrei Torah means to immerse yourself fully in Limud Torah. So maybe I can't have an asek with philosophical books, but maybe a little bit to look, to learn. He says, no, levli lahavi behem klal. You have no sheikh is looking into them at all. Afilu b'sifrei chakiros shel gedoli Yisrael. And even the great works of our tzaddikim, of our chachamim, whether it's the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, whether it's the Emunas Videos of Rav Sadia Yagon, right? Maybe it's Kuzari, Halachic Man, Lonely Man of Faith. That was written by a rabbi, as far as I'm concerned.
Kihu
Isser Gadol Ma'od Lilmor Asam. You don't need to learn these books. I've told you many times that I once saw in a volume from the Chafetz Chaim's son that the Chafetz Chaim did not allow his children to learn the Sefer Mor Nevuchim of the Rambam. Because he said, Mor Nevuchim is for a person who's Navoch, a person who's confused. You're not confused. You don't have to be, and not everyone has to be an Avram Avinu. When we say Echad Haya Avram, like Mashpia taught us a number of months ago, how every Jew has to kind of be that Avram Avinu type character where he's alone with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That doesn't mean I have to reinvent the wheel. I don't have to rediscover Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have to, you know, scrap and scratch everything from the table and say, you know, I'm going to start from scratch. I'm going to begin my philosophical inquiry into God. I don't have to do that. If you have a Muna, Shkoyach, good. Go with it. Go weiter with it. So the Chofetz Chaim said to his children, you don't need more Nevuchim. You don't need to go back and rediscover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is there what to gain by a person who discovers Hashem on his own, so to speak? Of course there is. But there's also a lot to lose when a person starts to open things up and starts to undo things and starts to question norms that are good to live with. At the end of the day, it's good to have emunah. At the end of the day, a Jew's conclusion is there is a God, and we believe in Him. We believe in His Torah. So to try to work all of that out, if I'm not bothered by it, is not only a waste of time, but could lead to great confusion. So why get started with that? Chafetz Chaim told his children, you don't need to go back. You don't have to. You didn't grow up in the home of Terach, who was a great idol worshiper. Avraham himself, the Rambam says, I tell you all the time, the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, that and as far as I'm medayik in this, since it's around Pesach time, we'll add a vart from the Brisker Haggadahs that they put out in the last number of years, that the Rambam says, Mefurash, that Avram, it's not Mefurash, but it's a very clear diuk in the Rambam. Again, Hilchos Avodah Zarah 1:3, that it says that Avram grew up in a home of people who worshipped idols, and he worshipped with them. That's what it says. Avram worshipped the Avodah Zarah. So Avram had a lot of baggage. Avram had a lot of things he needed to work out. So Avram needed to discover HaKadosh Baruch. The Chofetz Chaim children never worshipped the Avodah Zarah. Their father wasn't Terach. They were able to start from a different starting point. So why do you have to go back and read the Rambam's Mor Nebuch. Now he didn't say, Chavetz Chaim didn't say, like Rabbi Nachman says, that a person who reads the Rambam's Mor Nebuch, and God forbid, could lose their Tzelem Elokim. That's how much Rabbi Nachman wanted to scare us away from even Jewish philosophical works. That a person who studies these books loses his Tzelem Elokim. The danger of these Svarim is also that it takes Torah and it explains it al derech hapshat to the point that you might not think that there's a drash or a remez or a sod. Rabbi Nachman was particularly angry when Chumash Vayikra now. Rabbi Nachman was particularly angry about the fact that the Rambam interpreted in the Mor Nebuchim Ketores ki'ilu it was air freshener in the Beis HaMikdash. That because there's a lot of dead animals, there's a lot of blood, and there might be a strong smell in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Ketores comes to make the air smell nicer with some sweet-smelling spices. So Rabbi Nachman went crazy on that. He said, "That's what are you talking about? Ketores is as big as it gets, as far as karbanos are concerned, offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are concerned. Ketores is a big deal. There's so many sodos in Ketores. And you're turning it into what? Into a little air freshener? In the Makom HaMikdash." So again, there is a danger when a person studies philosophical work. So he says, even to study the Chakiras of Gedolei Yisrael, it's an Isser Gadol Ma'od Lomor Osam. Ukvar Mevar Bakam Besvarim Godala Isser Lomor Bam Ki Lo Be'ela Chelak Yaakov. This is not the way a Jew is supposed to be. A Jew's Amunah is not supposed to be built on philosophical inquiry. It's supposed to be something that we receive as a Kabbalah, as a Yerusha. Whether you want to understand it, like the Chiddush Arim says, Magain Avraham, it's the guarded point that we all have inside of us. After all the hard work Avraham did, we have it automatically. That's why it says in Pirkei Avos, there were 10 tests that Avraham Avinu endured. Contrast that with the Mishnah that comes right before that, that says that there were 10 generations from Noah to Avraham. Why doesn't it call him Avraham Avinu? Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, because when it came to Avram's 10 tests, that's where he became Avinu. And a father transmits a DNA to a child. And there's a spiritual DNA that we have from Avram Avinu. Which means that every Jew has a Pintel Yid, Magain Avram. There's a guarded point inside of us. So why do I want to tamper with that? Why do I want to question that? I can't destroy it. It just is. But why play with it? Why start up with it? Lo Be'ela Chelek Yaakov. As the Pasuk says, he's paraphrasing the Pasuk, Lo Be'ela Chelek Yaakov, this is not the portion of the Jewish people to be osek in such things. It's just not our business. It's not the way that we do things. Ki ein lanu shaychus behem. It's not our world. It never was. And even those Rishonim that got pulled into it, the Kedusha V'Tara, right, in their time, it was because they were responding to influences of the world. The Rambam was responding to the influences of his world. And Rav Saadia Gaon was trying to explain Judaism, right, in accordance with monotheism, and to try to move away from some of the Greek philosophy. So in each generation, they were grappling with, they were trying to get things back closer to Torah sources. But again, it's all because we were confronted by the world who was asking questions. We weren't the ones asking the questions. So we had to respond. So the Rambam responded, Rav Saadia Gaon responded, right, and in more recent times, the Malbim responded, and Rav David Zvi Hoffman responded. So people responded throughout the ages, but that's not our chelek. Ein lanu shayches b'hem. It's not our ikur place to be. Ki anu ma'aminim bo yisbarach be'emuna lavad b'li shum chakira. Ki hu yisbarach bara es olam kulo u'makayim es olamo v'asid l'chadish es olamo. Because we believe an imamim be'emuna shlema u'be'emuna pshuta that Hashem created the world, Hashem sustains the world, and Hashem is constantly renewing the world, and will eventually recreate the world in such a way that we come to the world of Mashiach and Olam Hab. V'derech elu asfarim lahakshos kushios sheniran kakushios gedolos. V'ateirutz chalush ma'ot. Sometimes a person will pick up a philosophical work and will find very challenging questions and very weak answers. Very challenging questions and very weak answers. Let me give you an example. Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Parakei Halacha Hei. What does the Rambam do to us in Hilchos Tshuva, Parakei Halacha Hei? What Pandora's box does the Rambam open up, or attempt to open up, but not really leave us with much clarity? Tshuva, hey, got to know this Rambam. Yediyah versus Bechira. Free will versus an all-knowing God. The Rambam says, maybe a person will say, I don't have any choice in this world, everything is controlled. Says the Rambam, you do have a choice in this world. But you should just know, that doesn't contradict the fact that Hashem knows everything. Yeah? So the Rambam says, you're not going to be able to understand that paradox. How could Hashem know what I'm going to do, and you're telling me at the same time I still have the ability to choose? Says the Rambam, Elohu yis'ale shemo v'daito echad, v'ein daito shal adam yachol lahasik davar zeh al buria. And no human being can understand this with clarity. Okay? K'shem she'ein koach v'adam lahasik ulimtso amitas habore. Just like a person can't have a full physical, as long as he's in a body, can't fully encounter Hashem. Ki lo yareini adam v'chai. You can't see Hashem. Someone who's a skeptical person can come to you and say, you believe in God, but you've never seen Him. Now, if you get caught up in that, you can really get thrown off by that. No one's ever seen Him. Lo yareini adam v'chai. So that you could spend a lot of time getting really mubulbal over the fact that no one's ever seen God. The Rambam says it's not possible for you because you can't see Him and live at the same time. That's part of the way Hashem made you as a human being. So too, you can't understand Hashem's knowledge. You can't understand how Hashem can know everything and you still have the ability to choose. The Rambam goes on. Says the Ravid. Amar Avram. Lo nahag zeh hamechaber minag hachachamim. The Rambam did a very foolish thing in this halacha. Hilchos Tshuva Perakei Halachahei. The mechaber, meaning the author here, the Rambam, did something that is not the way of a chacham. She'ein adam maschil bedavar v'lo yada lashlimo. Don't bring up a question that you can't answer. Don't get people thinking about topics that you don't have clarity yourself in. What was the point of telling us this? The only thing that can happen, says the Rambam, from this piece in the Rambam, is that you start thinking about something that the Rambam himself admits you're not going to be able to understand. So why am I getting busy with that? Why would I want to confuse myself with that? That's exactly what Rabbi Nachman's saying here. We're going to ask difficult questions and then give, you know, weak answers. So therefore, why get started with this, says the Rambam? Why do you want to confuse yourself? Why start a topic you don't know how to finish? V'uhecha b'sheilos kushios v'iniach adavar b'kushio. He asked the hard question and left it as a question. Right? V'achziro l'amuna. And then the Rambam says what? Have amuna. So if the conclusion is have amuna, so why start with the questions? V'tov hayalo l'aniach adavar b'tmimus hatmimim. Better to leave nice, sweet Jewish children alone. Right? Why get us confused? Why get started with this? Maybe people will start to think about this and they'll get confused by this. So why not let those who are tamim maintain their tamims? Yeah.
Maybe he was doing what you said before. Why they pray for us to the beginning.
Which is what?
Maybe he was saying that these are what people are asking, so
this might scare them. But that's the Rambam's more nevuchim. Here the Rambam's codifying halacha, clear halacha for Jews to live by. So don't become a philosopher here. You want to tell me you have one book that you keep on a back shelf, the Rambam's more nevuchim, and if you're really mubul baal, that's the safer you go to. But don't bring it. The Rambam wanted to throw out the Gemaras and leave Klal Yisrael with the Mishnah Torah. He said all you need is this. When the Lubavitcher Rebbe set up a cycle of learning Rambam, it's because the Lubavitcher Rebbe understood that not everyone could finish Kol Torah Kula in the sense of mastering all of Shas. But learn a little Rambam every day. Everyone can go through Rambam, it's clear. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had a cycle of a person could learn through all the Rambam, he learned through, by the Rambam's estimation, by his own definition and declaration, you learn Kol Torah Kula. But that's hashkaf I can live with. The whole point of the Rav here is you posed a question that you yourself can't answer. And you told people at the end, have amunah. So just leave them alone. Let them just have amunah. Why make them mububal and then say have amunah? I was thinking last night, There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. I'll take your question in 2 seconds. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya Memtes. Perek Memtes, pasuk Gimel. Vayomer li avdi, ata Yisrael, asher becha es pa'ar. I was thinking, you know, what's the pa'er of the Jewish people? What's the beauty, the splendor of the Jewish people? The tiferes of the Jewish people. We live in a very confusing, our existence is very confusing. Tiferes. Tiferes. What does it say in Psach Eliyahu? That passage that's printed in a Nusach Svar Tzitter? Beginning of Davening? Psach Eliyahu, the passage from the Tikkuni Zohar. What does it say there? Psach Eliyahu va'amar, goes through the Sfiros. And it says about Tiferes, Tiferes Gufa. Tiferes Gufa. Tiferes, in corresponding to the body parts. Chesed is the right arm. Gvura is the left arm. Tiferes is the guf. But the very fact that I'm an neshama in a guf creates a tremendous tiferes, a tremendous splendor, a tremendous beautiful thing that I have a unique opportunity to give honor to Hashem because I live in such a confusing world. But I have to try to stay out of the confusion. Kedushas Levi brings in a few places, in his next coming Parshios, he brings a mashal of a person, of a king who bought a talking bird. King bought a talking bird. And everyone's lining up to see this talking bird, like a real, not just a parrot, you know, a bird that can like think and talk and unbelievable. Everyone's lining up, it's a wonder of the Bria. And this one cynical fellow gets on the line, and he gets to the front and he sees the talking bird, and he says, "I'm not impressed, I can also talk." So everyone says to him, "Are you a complete fool? Don't you realize that, of course you can talk, you're a human being. Hashem made you a nefesh chaya, a ruach mamala, speaking spirit. Human beings are supposed to talk. The thing that separates the animal kingdom from human beings is that animals don't talk in the way that humans talk. This bird is special because it's a big chiddush." Tiferes, says the Kedushas Levi, is when there's a chiddush. And when a Jew, who's a neshama in a guf, can have any clarity whatsoever in this confusing world, that's a chiddush. And therefore, Tiferes, says Tikkun Ezar, is Gufa. The fact that you're in a body gives you an opportunity. The fact that the angels serve Hashem is no chiddush. The fact that the stars and the moon and the sun do what they're supposed to do is not a chiddush. The fact that a bird is Mekayim a mitzvah every time it flaps its wings, because the Torah says the birds shall fly. So it says in Bereshis. Moshe Wolfson writes in the Munas Yitech on Bereshis that when a bird flaps its wings, it's being Mekayim, it's mitzvah. Birds shall fly on the land. Fish shall swim in the sea. That's its mitzvah. Our mitzvah is much harder to do. Get out of bed and put on tefillah, but I'm tired. I'm always cheshbening. My guf is holding me back. Tiferes gufa. The tiferes is the fact that what? That I'm a neshama in a guf, and I'm a chiddush. So the Berditchever uses that to explain Pirkei Avos. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? What does it say about Tiferes in Pirkei Avos? Can anyone think of the Mishnah about Tiferes in Pirkei Avos? What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Where is it? I want to get the exact lashon because Berditchever is medayik in it. Ezu derech, yeah, here. Beginning of the second parak, Rabbi Omer. Ezu derech yishar sheyavur lo adam. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Pirkei Avos, Parak Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Says Rabbi Huda Nasi, what's the proper path that a person should choose? By the way, you know why Rabbi Huda Nasi is the one to say this? Who was Rabbi Huda Nasi at Gilgalav? Anyone know? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the Svarim say, Galamukos and others point out, Hanasi is Rashi Tevos, who Nitzutz Shel Yud Aleph, Yaakov Avinu. Who Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was what? Was a nitzutz, was a spark, was a gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. What was Yaakov Avinu's mida? Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is gvura, Yaakov is tiferes. Says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, what's the proper path a person should choose? Kol shi tiferes leosea v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. Pashup shat, before I tell you what the Pradish verse says, Pashup shat is what? Who wants to say Pashup shat? Kol shi tiferes leosea v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. To strike a balance between that which is tiferes le'osel, which is pleasing to the one who does it, which gives honor and grace, however you want to translate tiferes, pe'er, to the one who performs it, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam, and it's pleasing in the eyes of others. You have to strike a balance between what? Living for yourself and living for the world. Okay? But says the Berdichever, a beautiful pshat, you know what tiferes, we said before, tiferes is gufa. The chiddush of a talking bird is that birds aren't supposed to speak. The chiddush of a Jew in this world is that what? It's very easy to fail. It's very easy to choose other things. And I choose you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's teferes, it's pe'er, it's beautiful. It's a source of splendor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So look, says the Berdichever, Kol, what's the path a person should choose? Ha'adam, what's the path a man should choose? Kol shi teferes le'oseha. Whatever is tiferes, whatever gives tiferes, le'oseh, to his maker. Whatever gives tiferes to Hashem. And the Mishnah tells us, and what gives tiferes to Hashem? What is Hashem like? The tiferes lo, and the tiferes for him, for Hashem, is min ha'adam. Is min ha'adam. Is when a human being of flesh and blood is able to make good choices. When a human being can choose a lot of other things, chooses a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tiferes lo is min ha'adam. Yeah? Now why did we get into this? How did we get to this? Not to confuse ourselves with things for no reason? What did I want to say? I had it the whole time, now I just lost it. Where are we going with this? The Rambam told us a question that we can't answer. So the Ravid says, leave us alone. Oh, it's the Pasuk in Yeshayah. That's how we got started with this. Because the Pasuk in Yeshayah Memtes says, no, you got the notes, you got to help me out. The Pasuk in Yeshayah says, Vayomer li avdi ata Yisrael asher b'cha espa'ar. Ata Yisrael, Yisrael asher b'cha espa'ar. Yisrael, the Jewish people, asher b'cha espa'ar. So I was thinking last night the following remez. You know, a lot of the Sfarim talk about 502, especially coming off of the heels of Purim. Baruch Mordechai is Gematria, 502. Or Haman, 502. The years of the lives of the Avos, I told you the other week. Avram lived 175, Yitzchak lived 180, Yaakov 147, 502. Yeah? But Emuna Pshuta is 502. Becha, Chav Sofit is 500. So Becha is 502. What's the pe'er of the Jewish people? Yisrael asher Becha es pa'ar. The pe'er of the Jewish people is Becha, is 502. The pe'er of the Jewish people is when we choose to live with the Emunah Pshuta. You know why that's a chiddush? Because it's so easy to get caught up in all this stuff. It's so easy to be impressed by a person who could drop names of cool-sounding philosophers. Whether they're from Greece, from long ago, or whether they're from Germany, not as long ago, or whether they're even from America, or from London, or from wherever they're from. You feel smart when you talk about philosophy. You feel like you've got things figured out, and all it does is create more and more bilbulim. So Reb Nachman's telling us, you're going to ask all these hard questions, and you're not going to give sufficient answers. The Ravid says to the Rambam, you're asking a hard question, you're not giving answers. You're taking the Tmimus away from Klal Yisrael. You're taking the Tiferes away from Klal Yisrael. Of course there's the Tiferes is that I'm a neshama in a guf, and it's very, my whole existence is mebulbal. But Yisrael asher b'cha espar, b'cha is 502, is gematria emunah pshuta. The pe'er of Klal Yisrael is when we can choose. I'm not getting involved with this. Oh, you're such a simpleton. Yeah, Yaakov was also a simpleton. He was an ish tam yoshev ohel. I'm happy to stay in the ohel. I'm happy to stay in the ohel. Ohel is Rashi Tevos La Yehudim Haisa Ora. Let me do my sorrow. I'll stay in the light of the Shekhinah. I don't need to get into this dark world of philosophical inquiry, which is an endless maze of questions and half answers. It doesn't work. You don't get anywhere. Okay, Yoni, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, why can't the Rambam just be like saying, like a Jew can live with the questions? Like he breaks the question and say, like, no, I still have Emunah. Like,
so the answer is, we're all going to have questions. Again, Tiferes is Gufa. We're a Guf. We're Neshama with Guf, which means we're all going to get Navoch on something. But don't make ourselves more confused than we need to be. That's why Asher Becha is Pa'ar. The more Becha, the more Emunah Pshut you can have, the more Pa'ar. That's also a choice. That's also a chiddush, to choose not to get caught up in what the world wants you to get caught up in. That's it. That's a chiddush of a choice. So you're right, we're all going to get stuck on questions. And I always tell this time of year the story about the time the Chassam Sofer, or Wolfson, brings it by his writings on Pesach. In the Munas Itech on Pesach, Rav Wolfson says a beautiful thing. He says the Chassam Sofer's son once came to him with a bomb kashan philosophy. Unbelievably complex kashan philosophy. And he sits down with his father, Moshe Sofer, Moshe Schreiber, Chassam Sofer, Gadol Hador, right? And he says to him, I want to talk to you about this question. Okay. His father's thinking, he's thinking. I don't know. It's a really strong question. Knockout punch on Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, no, what do you mean? You don't have an answer? So his father says to him, it's a really, really strong question. I don't know what to tell you. He says, you're the God of the Dori. My father, there's no one I can, if I can't talk to you about this, there's no one I can talk to about this. I don't know what to tell you. And the Chassam Sofer's son left feeling very disheartened, very confused, very unsure. A couple days later, Chassam Sofer calls him back into his study. He says, I want to sit down and talk to him. Calls him in, sits him down, and with unbelievable clarity and brilliance, he picks apart his argument point by point by point, to the point that by the end, his son doesn't even know what the kasha was. You know, like when you have such a clarity on a topic, like you don't even remember like what bothered you at the beginning? And Chassam Sofer says to his son, he says, let me tell you something. He says, when you were here a couple days ago, I had the answer. You don't think I had this worked out? I'm the Chassam Sofer. Of course I had it worked out. He said, I had it all worked out. He said, but I wanted to teach you that a Yid can live with a question. I wanted to teach you that there's no such thing as a knockout punch in Yiddishkeit. It just means it's a matter of time until you find the answer. Remember when I was in YU, a good friend of mine was very bothered, I think I told you this once, was very bothered by some type of, also a very difficult question. So he decided to write to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. That's an interesting move, to write your philosophical question, knowing how Rav Chaim Kanievsky usually responds to letters. Cain, Lo, Efsher. He responds to everything. If you write to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you'll get a letter back. But it's usually not like a whole arichas. This was a question that required an arichas. You know, the Imre Emes, by the way, if you think Rav Chaim Kanievsky is brief, the Imre Emes had a whole system of responding. He wouldn't even write Cain, he would just write Chaf, Lamed for love. He didn't even have time to write love. Imre Emes was meshuga with using his time. Every second of his time was accounted for. It's unbelievable. He had a whole system, he had to know the system of what his, what his response meant. So anyway, so my friend wrote to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim, Shlita, wrote back, one of the Gedolei Hador wrote back. He said, you should take on an extra Seder of learning. Something. If you're not learning enough halacha, take 15 minutes of halacha. Do a parak of Nach. Right? 15-minute Musar Seder. Take on an extra little Seder of Limud. Totally didn't answer like the question. But I said to my friend, and my friend said to himself, if Chaim Kanievsky tells you to do something, you do it. I don't see how this is the answer to my question. He said he's makabel upon himself to learn whatever, an extra half hour a day, whatever it was. And he said within 2 weeks, he said his question was like so stupid that it just didn't bother him anymore. So it was like a Torah. So it's just a matter of time until you find whatever it is that puts your heart at ease. Sometimes you find an answer. I mean, the Chassam Sofer picked apart his son's argument. Sometimes you just immerse yourself in Torah to the point that the question doesn't bother you anymore. But the point is that you can live with the question. Why does Rav Moshe Wolfson tell that story? I cannot tell you this while we're on the topic. You're crying this close to Pesach. The Seder night is a night of Emunah, right? That's the whole point of the night. We're building Emunah. Sukkot is also a yontav of Emunah. But the difference between Sukkot and Pesach is that on Sukkot we're building Emunah outside. Pesach we're building Emunah inside. Sukkot, we're teaching Emunah to the world. 70 karbanos, connected all the nations of the world. The dimensions of the Sukkah, 7 tvachim by 10 tvachim, also 70. We're focused on the world. We build our Sukkahs in the street. Magen Avraham has a shayla, even in Halacha. Why is it that you find Jews popping up Sukkahs in property that does not belong to them? Right? But the answer in Pnimis that the Bnei Sasser addresses is that the whole point of Sukkahs is to teach the world. Pesach is just the opposite. Pesach, we gather the family, we come together around the table, we come inside, and we sit together, and it's a night of Amunah. It's the night where we clarify our Amunah in the Rabbona Shalom. So, Chevra, did you ever notice the following? How does the night of Amunah end? This is an unbelievable Torah from Rav Wolfson. How does the night of Amunah end? Chad Gadya. Okay, good, we had a great time. Everyone's a mamin, we can sit around singing songs now. Yeah? Do you realize what a bomb kasha Chad Gadya is? A theological bomb Chad Gadya is? Let's go through it. Yeah? A nice little yid goes to the marketplace and he buys a goat. Okay, beautiful. It's his hard-earned money, buys a goat. Comes along a cat and eats the goat. Ganov! The cat did the wrong thing. So the dog, seeking vengeance, justice, on behalf of his friend the goat, the dog comes and he attacks the cat. So the dog did the right thing. Now the cat also has a chevra. It's got a little posse. Back him up. So the stick comes and the stick hits the dog. That's not right. The dog was standing up for the poor goat. The stick did the wrong thing. So the fire comes and it burns the stick. Fire did the right thing. The water comes and puts out the fire. The water did the wrong thing. The ox comes and drinks up the water. So the ox did the right thing. The shochet comes and kills the ox. That's the wrong thing. The Malacham Aves comes, kills the shochet. Shochet deserves to die. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and shechs the Malacham Aves. Have a good night. The Seder ends on Hashem did the wrong thing. Everyone sleep tight. Don't forget to not say Shema. Yeah? Don't forget to... That's the night of Amunah. It's the night where we clarify our Amunah. So Wolfson says yes. Because even the ultimate clarity in Amunah is still good. There's always going to be kashas. And a yid has to know how to live with the kasha. And the Sam Sofer taught his son, you have to live with the kasha. But it doesn't mean, says Rabbi Nachman, that I have to drown myself in kashas. The Ravitz tain on the Rambam is, why are you throwing yourself into it? It's confusing enough. You don't need to make it more confusing. Yisrael Asher Becha Esfar. Becha is Amunah Pshuta. That's the Pe'er of Klal Yisrael. Of course there's going to be Pe'er, Neshama, and Guf struggling in this world. But why make the struggles more? It's as big of a chiddush to choose Amunah Pshuta. That's also a big chiddush. Okay, so let's go back to Rabbi Nachman. So he says, in philosophy, a person asks all sorts of hard questions, gives very weak answers. V'lo yo'elo ateirutz, al kein osr la'ayin v'em klal. Uve'emes kol ha'kushios shalahem einum klum. Ve'im kulam hevel v'rayon ruach. All of the questions of philosophy are what? Are idle words, empty words. Wasted breath. This next line I find to be the most interesting line he has in all of Osmem. Why is it that you find people, yeah, who get very interested, they like the depth of philosophy, but they won't come anywhere near, right? Physically, they won't come near. Besides the fact that the writings they're studying won't come near. But they themselves have a revulsion. They're so afraid to plunge the depths of what? Of Yiddishkeit. What does that mean? Look what Rabbi Nachman says. Why is it that you have people, they're drawn after all these Svarim, right? And yet they're not drawn after the Svarim Kedoshim, which are no Ra'im Ma'od, which are filled with all sorts of such, if you like, deep stuff. We don't have deep books to swim around in. Kigon Sifrei HaZohar, V'sifrei Arizatzal v'kiyotze, afal pi sheyesh bem chidushim nora ma'od ma'od ha'meirim einayim u'mesukim midvash ve'in nimshachim daika acher in yonim acherim kigon chakiros. They like things that are complicated and confusing and deep, so they'll swim around in the world of philosophy. They'll start with Plato and Aristotle and Socrates, and they'll just go from there weiter and weiter, and they'll be name dropping all these philosophers and their theories and. Right. And they'll be so into it, and they're reading these impossibly difficult works, They like the challenge, they like the depth, they like the creativity. We don't have that. We don't have that in Kedusha. Try out the Zohar. Try out the Sifrei Ari. Try the writings of Rav Chaim Vital. Try all of the tzaddikim throughout the generations. Pick up a Lakutei Moran. That doesn't do it for me. You know, if I don't have the philosophers, then I don't have real stuff. Yeah, John.
Why does that have to be an either or? Like, why can't Plato be complementary to?
It can be. It can be. But what he's pointing out is it's very interesting that there's something must be off. If the people who are claiming depth and they're seeking meaning and they're trying to understand, right? Again, whatever it is that they're being osek in, wherever you want to pick up in the history of philosophy, yeah. But they're not. They won't look. They're like scared of. You're right. They could be complimentary. The truth is, you can learn Plato, as we mentioned in the past, and the Yesodos of Plato, you could argue, are very, very similar to certain Sodos and Pnimius HaTorah. There obviously are differences, right? And if you look in some of the writings of, let's say, the Barbanel, he has a sefer where he discusses and he references the fact that Plato perhaps got much of his philosophy from Jewish sources, that originally much of the Greek philosophy was borrowed from our prophets or from our earliest sages. And then it kind of worked its way down the pipe, and that's why the Rambam. That's why the Rambam's so into Aristo. Quotes Aristotle all the time. Right? Because it does have a shoresh in Kedusha. But the point is, why is it then, if you're really seeking depth, so why is it you won't even give this a shot? You want something deep? We'll give you something deep to look at. Why is it that you're only interested? You're only interested in the philosophers. You're not interested in trying to swim around in the depths of Torah's, you know, deep waters. But you're also filled with very deep, thoughtful questions and systems of existence and logic. And why not? So Rabbi Nachman says, because there's something that's off here. And what's off is the following, he says. Why is that? Da kizel machmas mizgam ki mizgam betivam hu mezeg ra min ha'olada shenoldu mezeg ra she'enim yecholim lisbol atzadavar ha'kadosh be'emes. Because sometimes a person, perhaps by no fault of his own, but his very birth, his existence, the creation of him, the act of intimacy that his parents engaged in to create him, right, was not done by Kedusha V'tara. And therefore his neshama, his very birth, he has a mezeg ra, he has a bad nature, he has a netiyah towards unholy things, and his pull, his magnetic pull towards unholy sources of depth is going to be much stronger than his pull towards Kedusha. And therefore their neshama, without a lot of refinement and work, is not able to what? Eino yecholim lisbol asadavar kadosh be'emes. The Chiddush of Avram Avinu, who discovered Hashem in a complicated way, but then was also the greatest expression of Amunah Pshuta, right? The Chiddush of Avram Avinu is that he was able to shake off the Mezeg Ra and the entire environment in which he was born. We've mentioned in the past from Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, who was considered a Pesh Lishi of the Vilna Gaon. He's considered a Talmud of the Gra. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver said an interesting thing. Avram had to undergo a Tara process. Now, again, this time of the year, you're thinking about how to get kasher kelim. Avram needed to kasher his kelim. He had to kasher himself. How do you kasher a kli? Well, you can put it into fire. So Avram went into fire. Avram had to go into fire. He was thrown into a fiery furnace. That's one way he kashered himself. There's also an idea in halacha, right, that if let's say I use a knife to do something, you can stick it into hard earth. Yeah? You can insert a knife insert a utensil into hard earth as a means of what? Also as a means of kashering. Again, exactly which types of impurities can be removed by various methods of kashering. Hagala, libun, over an open fire. Okay, we're not learning halacha right now. But there is such a notion in halacha. There's such a notion of kashrus, where a person inserts a utensil into hard earth as a means of scraping off whatever might have become attached to it. So the Medrash says that Avram, interesting, like Rishon VaYochai, spent 13 years hiding underground in a cave, hiding from his enemies, in addition to being thrown into the Kibshan Eish. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zechava writes in the Drasha, he says this was Avram's kashering process. They had to stick him in the ground for a long time, you had to throw him into fire. The Svarim say, and I think Chazal already have in Midrashim, on the Pasuk in Iyuv, Mi yitein tahor mitame lo echad. Who could bring tahor forth from tame? I think the Medrash says that's a reference to Avram Avinu. What a chiddush that Avram could come from such a home of tumah, from a world of avodah zarah. That Avram could emerge from such a place is a big chiddush. But again, that was with a lot of refinement. And therefore there are people, says Rabbi Nachman, who unfortunately have a bad mezeg, they have a bad teva, they have a bad nature, and it's very hard for them, therefore, to pick up such holy svarim. Now, you have to try to overcome that. You have to try to overcome that. Remember, I was once on a plane with a Jewish college student studying in Columbia. And I had Sipuri Maisos from Rabbi Nachman with me. And we started talking, and it was very clear right away, he was like, you know, he was a chasha philosopher. He had taken at least like 3 classes in philosophy by that point. And, you know, but it was so interesting. There was such a lack of openness, and I was being very open. You know, he wanted to drag me into his world. So I was playing along, I was just allowing him to drag me in a little bit. But the second I tried to pull him back, you know, in the other direction, to show exactly this line in Rabbi Nachman, that we also have very deep things, right? So immediately, like, the walls went, like, straight up. No, that's not it. So what's the pshat? You won't give the Arizal a chance? You'll give all these other guys a chance. You won't give the Arizal a chance? You won't give Chaim Vital a chance? You won't give Rishon BaYochai a chance, you won't give Rabbi Akiva a chance, you won't give Rabbi Nachman a chance, you won't give anyone a chance, except for those handful of philosophers who your professor, you know, made you feel real smart about. Well, what's the pshat? And the pshat is because it takes work. If a person has a certain mezegra, sometimes it's hard to overcome. Let's just end with this last paragraph. Let's finish it up. We'll have to finish Os Mem tomorrow. Of course a person has free will, and you can overcome, and you can force yourself to be osek in svarim that are hard at first and frightening at first because of their holiness. But since you were born with a certain natural inclination, which is sometimes rooted in unholy things, it's going to take a lot of work. Be prepared for that. But Ashrei la'adam shenolad b'kedusha. And fortunate is the one who is born and created in holiness. Okay, last paragraph for today. V'nimtza b'sifrayim kushyus al seder abriya. You find in the svarim, these works of philosophy, you find all sorts of questions about what? About the arrangement, about the ordering of the universe. Some philosophers find the lack of order in the universe as a proof for whatever they want to believe. Other philosophers find the ordering of the universe as proof for what they want to believe. So is the universe ordered? Is it not ordered? Right? Certainly as time goes on, science seems to show more and more order in the universe, but then there's always that next shalav of questions that emerges. So you work this out, but then you come to the next series of questions. An endless series of questions. So there are those svarim that ask questions on the Seder Abriya. Ma zocha ha-kochav lios kochav. Why did the star deserve to be a star? What makes a star a star? What makes a star a star? Yeah, the earliest philosophers were doing this. I mentioned the other week, Plato, what makes a chair a chair? What's the definition of a chair? There's at least 3 or 4 different types of chairs in this room. So which one is the essential chair? What makes something a chair? What makes it a chair? Does it have to have a back to be a chair? Does it have to be standing on 4 legs to be a chair? Well, some of the chairs don't have 4 legs, some of them don't. If I take 2 boxes and I put a piece of wood on top, is that a chair? It's a chair. What's the essence of a chair? Why is a star a star? again, from the earliest foundations of philosophy, these were the questions that were being asked. Oh, a mazel lios mazal. Why was a particular mazel? Why was a particular, you know, mazel created in such a way? What sin did the lower things of this world do to become lowly things? What did the star do to be zocha to be a star? And an ant to be an ant? Why couldn't the ant be a star? Why couldn't the star be an ant? You see where this gets us? Nowhere. Yeah? V'chein. Bibdema harosh harosh va regular regular. Why is my head and my foot, why not the opposite? Madua lo ya behafich vikiotzibaza. Kumavur ela kushus barichus besifrayam. There are hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands of pages written in this style. And the more confusing, the more esoteric, the more dense the philosopher's writings are, the more people give him the benefit of the doubt that he must be like a genius. Because no one can understand it. He just runs on for pages and pages and pages and pages, and it makes no sense to the average person, so that must mean he's a genius. Or he's a madman. Or both. And it is both. It's a waste of time, says Rabbi Nachman. Even the Rambam, after raising the question, says, you got to go back to your Amunah Pshuta. And therefore, let's just go with what we know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows a lot. And lo machshavos sayim machshavos seichem. No matter how much I think about it, I'm never going to solve it. And one philosopher is going to come and think he solved it, and the next philosopher is going to say, he's going to laugh in his face, that you didn't really solve it, I solved it. You know how many times that happened in philosophy? A lot. Where someone had a system, they thought they had it all worked out. Hegel had it all worked out. And then the next round, the philosophers came and they laughed in his face. Yeah, Kierkegaard came and laughed in Hegel's face. What are you talking about? I think it's so simple, you have it all worked out. And someone else comes along and says, I have it really worked out. And the next one has it worked out, and the next one has it worked out, and the next one has it worked out. Right? No one's going to work it out. I'll tell you a vart. I'll just end with a vart. In Pirkei Avos. I was once learning Pirkei Avos with my brother Josh. And we said over the following vart. It's an amistic vart. I think it is, at least. So tell me if you like it. In Pirkei Avos, what does it say at the very beginning? What does it say? It says, right, these are the comments of Hillel. It's in the second parak. Hillel one time, Afura gulgoles achas shesofa al pnei amayim. Parak Beis Mishnah Zayin, the art scroll printing, different versions of Pirkei Avos, the layout of the Mishnayos. Parak Beis Mishnah Zayin, Hillel one time saw a skull that was sofa al pnei amayim, floating on the water. Amar la, Hillel, I'll use poetic license here. Hillel laughed at the skull. And he said, "Al da'atev atfuch v'sof mityafayich yetufun." If you want to learn Hebrew grammar, this is a great mishnah. Al da'atev atfuch, because you drowned others, you were drowned. V'sof mityafayich yetufun, and the one who drowned you is going to eventually be drowned as well. Meaning what? Hillel identified that this must be the head of a robber, some bandit who killed someone, chopped off his head, right, and stole his money. But then the next robber came and killed the robber and stole everything. But the guy who killed, he says to the skull, the one who killed you, he's also going to get killed and drown one day. What's the pshat, the gulgoles that's floating al pnei amayim, ein mayim el Torah? The gulgoles on the mayim is that in every generation there's going to be a gulgoles, there's going to be a skull, there's going to be a brain that thinks that it has a better system than Torah. Until the next brain comes and drowns it out. And then the next brain comes and drowns it out. And the next brain comes and drowns it out. Until at the end of the day, they realize none of the skulls were actually on top of the Mayim. And the Mayim was really on top of all the skulls in the world. And ain't Mayim el Torah. The Torah always had the best system. So just have the Emunah Pshuta. I saw in an English biography the Bnei Yisachar. The Bnei Yisachar said, you can spend your whole life philosophizing. You can spend your whole life philosophizing about what is wheat? And why does it grow? And how does it become bread? Or the Bnei Yisachar said, you can plant wheat, and you can harvest, and you can make bread, and you can eat. You can spend your whole life talking about God, the theory of God, the philosophy of God, or you can spend your whole life serving God. You can serve the emotional, you can do Torah and mitzvahs, and actually get somewhere. So Mirtz Hashem, and Mirtz Hashem, the Gulgol is up in Imam, we'll continue tomorrow. Rabbi Nachman says that this whole world is a Galgal Achozer. And one person drowns out the next, and one person drowns out the next. It's true in science, it's true in philosophy, it's true in everything. It's true in everything in this world. And therefore, let's hold on to the constant in our lives. Yisrael Asher B'cha Aspar, let's hold on to the Emunah Pshuta, and we'll be Zocha to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu all the days of our life.